Well, good evening. So as Father mentioned, this is called Rejoice or Gaudete Sunday. Gaudete is just the Latin word for rejoice. And what you'll notice, we did light the rose or pink candle. Father's wearing rose. We're not supposed to say pink. I'm not wearing rose because we don't have deacon vestments for this Sunday because it only happens once a year. But I should be wearing rose. And the reason for that color is the entrance antiphon, which was so beautifully sung, begins with the word rejoice. You know, up till now, we've been preparing for the coming of Christ. We've been talking about his coming. But this week is different. We rejoice in the Lord because the Lord is near. It's as if the Lord's getting closer and closer. We've made this sort of transition during the season of Advent. You know, I think I've mentioned, or you've probably heard, the season of Advent, at the first part, is like a little miniature Lent. You know, we enter into Advent with the idea that we need to repent of our sins. We need to purify ourselves to prepare for the Lord's coming. There's the scripture last week about John the Baptist calling people to repentance. But this Sunday, we kind of make a transition from this kind of penitential, sorrowful preparation to rejoicing because the Lord is near. You know, I think of it this way. This is a little thing in my own life about my own mother. My mother was raised in Italy, so was my father. So my mother was in Italy during World War II. And I think there was this general attitude of remorse and sorrow that they had elected Mussolini, you know, because Mussolini's the one who got them involved in the Axis powers with Hitler. And by the time my mother was about 10, Italy was occupied by the Germans, and it was not a good place. It was horrible. Her childhood was horrible because of that. But in July of 1943, the Allied forces, the British and U.S. forces, invaded Sicily. And they began to move up the peninsula of Italy. And I can imagine how the Italians, my mother, she told me, there was this sense of rejoicing that these years of being in bondage, of being occupied, were coming to an end. It was just a matter of time before the Allied forces reached. My mother's positioned about halfway up the peninsula, by the way. And so as they're going north further and further, there was a sense of anticipation and rejoicing because they were about to be freed from their bondage, from this horrible situation. That's what we're doing today. We're celebrating and rejoicing because the Lord is near, and that's what he will do for us. That's what the Lord's coming to do, to free us from sin. You know, in the first reading, it talks about what will happen when the Messiah finally comes. It says, here is your God. He comes with vindication, with divine recompense. He comes to save you. Think about that. Jesus comes to save you and to save me. Now, there's a couple words in here, two words in particular that I think are worth thinking about. Divine recompense. I looked up this word. It means, recompense means essentially to pay a ransom, to compensate someone so that a prisoner can be released or a slave can be released. It's a ransom. So it's as if God is telling us through the prophet Isaiah, all of us are in a sense captives. We've been enslaved by the devil and by the evil forces of this world. Jesus is about to come to pay the price to set us free. The other word to focus on, he comes with vindication. Vindication, to vindicate means to be declared not guilty, you know, like in a courtroom, to be cleared of an accusation. But what I find kind of interesting, and this is a slight tangent, if you look up, and I have this great program on my computer that will have every Bible translation you can imagine on one page, the same verse. And there are 45 different translations on this one page. 44 of them use this instead of vindicate, that God comes with vengeance. It's interesting, for whatever reason, the translation that the Catholics have approved and used in our liturgies uses the word vindication. the real word, and I looked into the Greek and I looked into the Hebrew, it really is vengeance. God is coming with a vengeance because it conveys the sense that he's coming to destroy the enemy that's held us captive. So I think it's a good word, and I think 44 out of the 45 translations are probably correct. So if you paraphrase that first reading, this portion that I just read, it would go something like this. Get ready, God is coming. God is coming to defeat and punish the enemies, to ransom and buy you back from slavery. God is coming to rescue you. And here's how you'll know when the time has arrived. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the lame will walk, the mute will speak. These are the signs that prove when God has finally arrived. And that's what we saw in the gospel. It might look like John the Baptist was doubting, right? Like, are you really the one? But if you read into this and read some of the commentaries, they'll say, you know, John probably wasn't doubting. He wanted Jesus to declare these things so everyone could hear them. It was a question seeking a particular answer. And so Jesus answers the question by listing all these things he's doing, not to brag, not to show how great he is, but he wants the Jewish people would have thought of the prophet Isaiah. And when they saw those signs, they would have said, okay, this is the Messiah who has come. And Jesus is coming to save you and to save me. It's a rescue mission. And so Jesus comes to fix what, you know, one of my favorite books to read this time of year. It's a very old book and I highly recommend it. It's amazingly readable. It's St. Athanasius wrote this book called On the Incarnation, probably written, I think Athanasius was like 4th century. And a lot of those books are hard to read. This one is so easy to read. And the whole book is about why did God become a human being? The incarnation. And he says it's to solve this problem that he calls the divine dilemma. The divine dilemma is this: God created a perfect world. He had a plan for each one of us to live in a perfect state of union with him, sharing his life. That was God's original plan. And as we all know from the book of Genesis, our forefathers, our parents, rejected that plan. They decided to go on their own. We call that original sin. And from that time forward, we were under captivity of the devil. It's very much like the Italians voting for Mussolini. Once they made that decision, it led to them being held captive. And so St. Athanasius says, this is a dilemma. How's God going to solve this problem? And the problem is this: should God just overlook what happened? Should he just say, okay, well, you know, they made that mistake, we're just going to forget about it and overlook it? The problem with that is that would be a violation of God's perfect justice. God is perfect in all of his attributes, and he's perfect in his justice. He cannot overlook. There are consequences to sin that must be paid because God is perfect in his justice. On the other hand, would God punish the sinners and condemn them to eternal separation? Well, that's difficult too, because God created us to be in union with him. How could he just cast all of humanity into eternal damnation because of this sin? So you see, this is a dilemma, and this is what Athanasius calls the divine dilemma. How could God satisfy both justice and mercy at the same time? And the answer is, he becomes one of us. God Almighty, creator of everything, heaven and earth, and all that is seen, becomes a human being. And when he, 33 years later after the incarnation, he accepts the punishment for our sins, he satisfies divine justice. And yet mercy is also extended, because if we accept what Christ has done, we can receive forgiveness. It's not like the sins were just forgotten. The sins were paid for on the cross. The sins were paid for. Divine justice is satisfied, and his mercy is extended to all of us. All we have to do is say, yes, Lord, I want to be rescued. I want to be rescued from this slavery to sin and to evil. The scripture, St. John the Apostle tells us, the reason the Son of God came was to destroy the works of the devil. I mean, let's just get that straight. That's why God became a man in Jesus Christ to destroy the work of the devil, which was to capture all of us in sin. Jesus himself tells us at one point in the Gospels, the reason he came was not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom. So there's the divine recompense. Jesus exchanges his life for ours. He dies for the punishment that was due to each one of us. And so St. Paul says this in his letter to the Colossians, which is so powerful, that Jesus has delivered us from the dominion of darkness, and he's transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, where we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. So we're like those Italians waiting to be liberated. We've been held captive all this time. And Jesus comes, he destroys, defeats the enemy with divine vengeance. You know, God is permitted to take vengeance on his enemies. We're not permitted to do that, but God is. God took vengeance on his enemies. He defeated the devil on the cross, and he transfers us into his kingdom. What an incredible miracle. That's what we're celebrating today. That's why at this point in Advent, we're called, as we get close to the incarnation of Jesus, we're called to reflect and think about this. This is why Jesus came. This is what's given to us. You know, we have the great Christmas hymn. You know, we've sung this hymn so many times, but think about what's being conveyed here in the theology of it. God rest you, merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember, Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us from Satan's power when we had gone astray. Tidings of comfort and joy. Again, Jesus came to save us when we had gone astray. All these things are given to us: forgiveness of sins, entrance into a new life in Christ, the gift and the power of the Holy Spirit. The fear of death is gone because we are now will live forever with Christ. We're back to what God desired in the very beginning, living in union with him, in perfect union with him. What we lost in the fall in the garden is regained through what Christ did. My brothers and sisters, Jesus is coming and he's near, so it's a week to rejoice. And so I encourage you to take some time this week to meditate on exactly this, on what Christ accomplished, and which is the source of our joy. I put on the parish website a famous homily by St. Leo the Great. It's just called his Christmas homily. It says all of this in the same way. I would encourage you to read that, to meditate, to pray about it. And as we come to the Eucharist this morning, come with a sense of thanksgiving. Think about these things. Think about what Jesus did and what is offered to us in this rescue mission. Thank him for what he's done and recommit yourself to living fully and completely for him. May the Lord bless the rest of our Advent journey together. Amen.